D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
All right, trifecta time, and it's a big one. He jumps to the front of the line as last night we learn that the noted actor Val Kilmer passed away at the age of 65. We're joined by Donovan Lewis. Donnie, how we doing?
Fantastic. How are you, fellas?
Our final Supreme Court justice who gets to judge. We're doing good, man. We're doing good. So Val Kilmer checked out. Val was a monster actor in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s before he got sick. And he passed away at the age of 65 from pneumonia. And apparently, according to TMZ, Val Kilmer hadn't been out of bed for the last couple of years. That the cancer treatment that he ended up receiving, which he didn't do for the longest time because he's a Christian Scientist and they don't believe in that, he says kind of ransacked him and kept him just completely lifeless for the last couple of years.
Yeah, he was very sketchy looking when he was in Top Gun Maverick, which was in 2022. I imagine shot in 2021.
Yeah.
And he couldn't speak during that movie, right?
No.
Already he had lost his voice.
Yeah, it was gone. Yeah, it was really sad the way things ended up for him because he was such a huge, huge presence back in the day and such a good-looking dude and kind of owned every film that he was in. He got his start after being the youngest actor to ever be accepted into Juilliard drama. He was just a little kid, I think, and out of high school and gets accepted to Juilliard and after a couple of years, he got the role of in Top Secret, which was a ridiculous comedy.
Yeah, he played Nick Rivers. Top Secret was from the Zucker brothers who did Airplane.
Yes, and then right after that, he did Real Genius, which really launched him into superstardom. Real Genius was the story of this brainiac college kid that ends up moving in and he's the it's kind of Animal House, but for nerds. Like, he's this super cool guy that just so happens to be brilliant. It was a great movie, from what I remember, at least.
Yeah, and Uncle Rico, he was in that as well.
He was his roommate that lived in the closet. Yeah. Does any of these movies ring a bell to you, Donovan? Did you see Top Secret or Real Genius?
I don't remember seeing any one of those. I remember hearing about Top Secret, but I don't think I watched it.
Well, then he is launched into the superstardom because Oliver Stone was casting the Doors movie, and he was looking for Jim Morrison, of course.
Well, you're forgetting Top Gun.
Oh, that's right. I skipped. Yeah.
I mean, that's when he became a superstar, was in 86. Just his third movie was Top Gun.
I completely forgot about Top Gun. Yeah, where he was Iceman, and, you know, one of the more famous scenes in there, Lando, is... Did I send you the Top Gun cut? I didn't? Okay, that was good on my part. Was just the ridiculous nature of his relationship with Tom Cruise.
So homoerotic.
It was so super homoerotic at the time. He played Iceman. Perfect guy to play this kind of... Not a villain, because he wasn't a villain.
He was just super cocky and protective of his territory.
Right.
As the hotshot pilot, the gum-chomping pilot.
And he was great. He was perfect in that role. And then Oliver Stone came looking for Jim Morrison. And that's when things got out of control superstar-wise for him, as he's cast at Jim Morrison. Famously, he learned all 30 Doors songs by memory when he went into his audition and was able to sing them. And Stone was so impressed. He didn't want to do this. But he was so impressed by the way that he sang that he was like, dude, you're going to sing all these songs live in the movie. You sound that much like Jim Morrison. So here is Jim Morrison. Here's an actual cut of The Doors singing 5-1 live.
The old and the young get stronger. Taking over. Come on!
So in the movie, they redid one of the scenes, one of the famous scenes at the Whiskey A Go-Go of singing 5 to 1, that song. And here is Val Kilmer singing that song.
I'd rather see the fake Doors than the real Doors.
He was incredible in this, dude. And keep it up. In that movie.
Let's go get some pizza.
Tacos.
Oh, tacos.
Yeah. Let's go get some tacos.
Dave. Sorry.
I was pretty obsessed with that movie as a young college student, and
I remember seeing it in the theater. It was a big deal when it came out.
It was, dude, it was Oliver Stone. So Oliver Stone at the time had done Born on the 4th of July. He was, I think, at the time casting JFK when he was shooting the Doors movie. What was the Vietnam movie he did?
Born on the 4th of July?
No.
Platoon?
Platoon, yeah.
Spike Club.
Yeah, Platoon. Dude, he was the director of the 80s. Like, you couldn't touch Oliver Stone. And so when that came out, it was a huge, huge deal. He famously was method acting in this, and he came on the Hard Line about 10 years ago before, I think this was before he got throat cancer, because his voice is good here. And he talked to us about method acting. Which one is the one that the money cut that we need to play, Lando?
I think this is a good one.
Okay.
Is the rumor true that you wandered around the set, very Daniel Day-Lewis of you, by the way, and you had everybody call you Jim?
Yeah, actually it was pre-DDL, I call it. Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's my new bracelet.
I'm replacing it with method acting. It's to Lewis. I had a full Lewis on at the time, and it really was an accident, but I sort of defend Daniel because it sounds like a bit of a mad thing to do, but it's really just a practical way because you want to maximize being good in the movie. And the more people think of you as who you're there to be or pretend to be, the easier it is. And that was also a lot to do with because a lot of people have very strong opinions about icons.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still get told opinions about Doc Holliday or other real people that I've played.
Yeah, and speaking of Doc Holliday, Tombstone was another one of those giant movies.
2 years after The Doors.
Yeah, a couple of years after. He plays Doc Holliday. Kurt Russell plays Wyatt Earp. It was a huge movie. And I don't know why this resonated so much with people, but this line in particular is still one of the more famous lines from any Western as he's squaring off with Johnny Ringo.
You didn't send me that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I
Snake.
Literally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fight with our new producer.
Look at your email, dude.
You're my Huckleberry.
Yeah. Look at your email right now. Wow. It's there. It's right there.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your Huckleberry. Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
So, yeah, it like that line, I'm your Huckleberry, I don't know why it resonated with so many people, but it became like a catchphrase almost of the 90s, of these 90s films. Then he goes on to star in Batman Forever.
Ham, where do you rank him?
He was
him
the first Batman that I was exposed to. So I was about 4 or 5 years old when this came out.
So how does he rank on your all-time Batman list?
He's the most underrated Batman there is of the live-action ones.
He was just a one-and-done, right?
Yes, Batman because he had Forever. A scheduling conflict for the second one, and he hated Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, apparently Joel Schumacher said he would never make another film if he had to work with Val Kilmer again. And Val kind of got that vibe from a lot of directors, I guess. And then Michael Mann cast him in Heat. And again, Heat is one of my favorite movies ever, in which he plays part of Robert De Niro's gang that is making this giant bank heist. And by the way, Donovan, how many of these movies have you seen that we're mentioning?
I remember watching Heat on mute at the compound when Jake and I stayed up all night until 5:30. So I haven't watched it in full. And the only, we talked about this today, the only Val Kilmer movie that I remember seeing is, which one was he, At First Sight? Where he was blind, he had an operation to see, changed his whole life.
Yes.
That's the only Val Kilmer movie I can remember watching. And I watched Top Gun.
Okay, yeah. You've seen Top Gun. Yeah. And so, yeah, Heat was just incredible, and it was one of his favorite projects. He talked about that with us, too, when he was on with us. Is there another cut you want to play from him being on with us, Lando, that you liked?
Yeah, just kind of his privilege and how he felt playing Jim Morrison.
Okay.
It was a real privilege. I got to sing the songs live, and there were, you know, Robbie Krieger, the guitarist who wrote their biggest hit, Light My Fire, was on the set every day, and I got to make practically three Doors records pre-recorded with Paul Rothschild, who made all their records, the producer. And I had a great time. It was a unique experience. See,
so the problem is, after he does Heat, he starts to become this guy that is started to known as difficult to work with. And that kind of tortured him for the longest of time. And then when he ended up getting sick, it came out that he was a Christian Scientist and he didn't want traditional cancer treatment for the throat cancer. And he was contacting people to help him out with prayer, like some sort of prayer shaman within Christian Science. Really, really strange. And his kids were begging him to get treatment, and he wouldn't do it until really it was too late. And we don't even really understand what Christian Science is. We were trying to look it up, and I don't even know what it is, but he stayed very true to it.
So I think we figured out the difference between Christian Science and Scientology. Christian Science is at least loosely based on the Bible. Scientology is based on the L. Ron Hubbard book.
Yeah, based on lunacy.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, just scrolling through his IMDb post-Heat, there is not a lot there.
No, it's so weird that guy...
I mean, there's a lot, but nothing good.
For 13 years, Roger Ebert said he is the actor of the 90s. His films made like $4 billion or something like that, and then he just went away. It's very, very strange. But he was a monster back in the day for sure. All right, Michael Dixon, is he in?
Yes.
Lando?
Yep.
I had two heroes when I was a kid. One is Rusty Greer. The other was Val Kilmer. He is in.
Wow, look at that. Yeah, Donnie?
Of course.
Yes, he is in for sure. All right. Sayonara at 65 to Val Kilmer.
It was room 410 with George Foreman.
With who?
George Foreman.
Oh, George Foreman. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Not a bad room to start out. All right, Donnie, thank you very much.
Later, boys.
See y'all later.